The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behaviour, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise.
Evening, everyone. It's a short passage tonight, but it's pretty good. During the week, I Googled life hacks. Those of you who are familiar with that saying, you'll know that a life hack is a shortcut. It's a trick. It's a bit of a technique that will simplify your life, make things easier for you. I Googled them last week, came up with 310 million results. Life hacks, like putting ice cubes in the clothes dryer, will actually save you on ironing time because the ice turns to steam and takes wrinkles out of the shirt. Try it. Life hack. Like holding a nail with a clothes peg when you're going to hammer it into a piece of wood, and that way you won't run the risk of hitting your fingers with the hammer. Wish I'd known about that one before. Here's a relationship life hack. Keep a small stash of presents that you think your partner might like, so as to spring one on them when they least expect it, or perhaps on a day when they're just feeling a little bit down. Made sure I passed that one on to Sue. Life hacks. The internet is full of them, and I found them strangely addictive. I suspect it's because their attraction to me was that they just tap into this desire inside me of just wanting to do life better. I don't know about you, but I've got a nagging feeling that I'm just not as effective as I could be, just not as productive, as efficient as I'd like to be. I don't know, do you have that nagging feeling sometimes that you just could be doing better at life than you are? Well, the good news is that tonight we're starting a new series in the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs is very much the life hacks book of the Old Testament. Now, when I say that, I don't want to trivialise the book, because it's got to do with a lot more substantial stuff than just putting ice cubes in a clothes dryer. But nevertheless, it sort of captures what this book's about, because it is a book all about how to live the best life you can. How to do life better. Maybe better than you're doing now. Let me show you what I mean by going back to our reading and thinking firstly about the purpose of Proverbs. Because Proverbs is one of those handy books in the Bible that actually tells you up front why it's there. You can see the purpose of Proverbs in verses 2-5. Just want to skip verse 1 for the moment. I actually think it's the most exciting verse of the passage. I want to leave the best till last. So let's just go to verse 2, because here's how Proverbs describes why it's in the Bible. Reading from the NIV, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. Why is Proverbs here? Verse 3, it's there for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what's right and just and fair. Why is the book in the Old Testament? Well, verse 4, it's there for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. There's a lot of ideas mentioned in those verses. The big three, if you're following in NIV, the big three words were wisdom, discipline and prudence. You can tell they're the big three because they're the ones that get repeated. Wisdom is repeated in verses 2 and 5, discipline gets repeated in 2 and 3, and prudence gets repeated in 3 and 4. Let's very quickly take each one at a time. Firstly, wisdom. And by wisdom, Proverbs means more than simply being smart. This is not simply knowing facts. In the Bible, wisdom is making the right use of facts. Wisdom is about being street smart. Wisdom is about having practical knowledge. A common example that is often used is that a smart person knows that a tomato is a fruit, but a wise person knows not to put a tomato in a fruit salad. That's the difference. It's not just knowing things, it's knowing what to do with what you know. Proverbs doesn't want us to put tomatoes in our fruit salad and ice cream. Proverbs wants us to have practical knowledge. Proverbs wants us to be wise. Doesn't end there. Notice also that word discipline. And by discipline, it's not referring to punishment for doing something wrong type discipline. It's discipline in the sense of being in control of yourself, being in command of yourself. We would speak sometimes of elite sports people like this, don't we? About how they have a disciplined routine. When we talk about that, we mean how they're self-controlled in what they eat and their diet, and they've got the mental toughness to get up early in the morning and perhaps train. That's discipline in Proverbs. It's a book designed to help us take control of ourselves so that we can be the best we can be. And then thirdly, it's also a book designed for giving prudence. And prudence here is the idea of making good judgments, planning for the future. It's about having an eye for what's ahead. It's having foresight as to what may or may not happen down the track. So prudence involves making decisions today that will be most effective for reaching our goals into the future. Wisdom, discipline, prudence. All of which is setting the book up to be pretty neat, don't you think? I mean, if you go down to the local library, you'll discover books with titles like How to Be Confident, How to Be Happy, How to Be Captivating, How Not to Worry, How to Have a Successful Career, How to Perform Under Pressure, How to Be a Domestic Goddess, How to Be a Great Parent. Here in Proverbs, we've actually got a book from God all about exactly those sorts of things. This is a book about how not to just survive life. This is a book about how to succeed in life. Mind you, having said all that, and hopefully now whet your appetite for just how great a book this is, Proverbs very quickly adds that as tantalising as that purpose may be, the pattern of the book, and by that I mean the way the book is structured, the way the book is put together, the pattern of Proverbs might be a little different to what you're expecting. Because when most of us who are familiar with the book think of Proverbs, we usually think of, you know, those long lists of pithy little sayings and one-liners about life. And you sort of get the feeling that if you just follow all these one-liners, everything will work out. Proverbs itself warns us that there's more to this book than just that. Look, for example, back at verse 5 again. I want to keep reading into verse 6. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables and sayings and riddles of the wise. Now, verse 6 there is alerting us to what's going to come up in the book. And it's alerting us to the fact that a lot of different things are going to happen in the book. A lot of things are going to be going on in the book. Certainly there are those pithy one-line proverbs that perhaps we're most familiar with, but verse 6 is also telling us that there's going to be sayings coming up in the book. There's going to be riddles coming up in the book. There's going to be parables in the book. The pattern of the book is therefore perhaps not as simple as just a long list of sayings that we need to keep. It's a bit more sophisticated than that. Proverbs is a book that's going to require a bit of careful reading on our part, because Proverbs wants us to know that living well is not simply knowing a whole lot of catchy phrases. Living well, wisdom, actually comes from knowing which saying to apply when. Let me give you an example. Think of the modern proverb, if at first you don't succeed, try try, and try again. Have you heard that one? If at first you don't succeed, try, try, and try again. In other words, don't give up on stuff too easy. Keep going at it, you'll get through. That's a good proverb to say to someone who perhaps has missed out on their driver's license first go. It's okay, don't give up. If at first you don't succeed, try, try, try again, you'll get it. However, think of now someone sitting in front of a poker machine and putting all their pay through the pokey trying to win the jackpot. If at first you don't succeed, try, try, and try again. That's not a helpful thing to be saying in that circumstance. Quit while you're ahead. Maybe that's a good proverb to reach for. Maybe a fool and his money are easily parted. Maybe that's the proverb to go to in that circumstance. Because you see, different situations require different sayings. And that level of discernment is what the book of Proverbs wants to teach us as the book unfolds. Because in the book, we'll literally get hundreds of proverbs and parables and sayings and riddles of the wise. But the real genius to the pattern of the book, the brilliance to how the book unfolds, is that overlaid on top of these sayings is a set of principles that will help us wisely decide which proverb to reach for. And over the next few weeks, we'll discover what those principles are. And even here in the first six verses, we discover the very first principle. And this is where we go back to verse 1, and I think the best verse of the passage, because this is where we meet the person of Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Now, some of you might be aware that within the Bible, within the Old Testament, Solomon is the great champion and founder of wisdom. As verse 1 points out, he was King David's son. This guy ruled over Israel during a golden age of wealth and power and peace. And the bloke was famous for his wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 4 describes that God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. That's a lot of breadth of understanding. And the significance of all this is that after Solomon, as the Old Testament keeps going, this tight connection between King Solomon and wisdom, it gets picked up and developed more broadly as the Old Testament goes on between God's king and wisdom. And that just like back in Solomon's time, if you wanted to get really good insights of life, just back in Solomon's time, if you wanted to know how best to live life, so now you also go to God's appointed king. You see this especially expressed in the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Isaiah said a lot of stuff. One of the things he did was predict a wonderful future king of God in the line of David and Solomon. He predicted a future Christ. He predicted a future Messiah who was going to come. And he described this future king as, actually put it in the outline, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Now, I want you to notice that connection between this coming anointed king and wisdom and understanding. He will have the Spirit of wisdom. In other words, this future Christ that's coming, he's going to know what life's about. This future king that's coming, he's going to know which proverb to reach for and when. This future king that God has appointed, he will actually be God's anointed life coach to go to. And therefore, it's no surprise that when Jesus, the Christ, appeared, it's no surprise that wisdom simply oozed out of him. That's partly why so many people flocked to see Jesus. I mean, I know that there were the miracles, but also I'm sure it was because people could perceive in Jesus that here was someone who could actually help them. And people flooded to him. People from all ages and walks of life just kept seeking Jesus out, just kept following him everywhere, just kept asking him for help, asking him for advice, for he was God's promised Christ, who in whom the spirit of wisdom and understanding would abide. Jesus himself describes himself in Matthew 12, and I've also put this in the outline. He says of himself, for she, that's a reference to the Queen of the South, which is he's referring to something that happened in the Old Testament. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And then Jesus adds, and now one greater than Solomon is here. Extraordinary thing for Jesus to say about himself. Solomon, who had breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Jesus says, someone greater is here. And he's not being a big head. He's just simply stating what's true. The Christ of God, in whom the spirit of wisdom and understanding abides. Friends, I actually think this is taking us somewhere pretty special when it comes to thinking about just how to do life well. Because these opening verses are showing us that the purpose of Proverbs is to help us succeed at life. And it's going to help us do that by providing lots and lots of useful observations about life, and then overlaid on top of those observations, it's going to give us some directions about how and when to apply those observations. And here in the very first verse is the very first lesson. It's the lesson that God's King, you're getting this, God's King is the best life coach you can ever hope for. It's not Dr. Phil on the telly. It's not lifehacks.com. It's not even your family. It's not even your friends. I mean, they may have useful things to say sometimes, but only insofar as they reflect what Jesus himself says. He's the Christ. He is the motherlode of wisdom. Because if you want to know the best source of wisdom and prudence and discipline, then you go to God's King. Or to put it very simply tonight, friends, Jesus always knows best. He is always going to be the wisest person in the room. Which at one level is so simple. And yet at another level, it's profoundly exciting in terms of living life well, as God intends it. I think I've mentioned this bloke once before. Forgive me if you've heard about him. Let me tell you what happened to a mate of mine when he became a Christian. For the sake of privacy, I'm going to call him John, because the talks get on the net and circulated. Before becoming a Christian, John lived a pretty wild life. Plenty of parties, plenty of sex, plenty of substance abuse. But after becoming a Christian, John was reading his Bible one day and he discovered that Jesus didn't actually want him sleeping around. Jesus wants us to enjoy sex, but within marriage. And so John said, oh, okay. And he stopped having casual sex. He showed discipline. And then John just kept reading through his Bible, and he discovered that Jesus wants us to be honourable and upright in the way that we speak. And John said, oh, okay. So then he started to work really hard to not gossip anymore, and to only ever say what was helpful for building other people up to them. And he worked really hard at not lying the way he used to. And lo and behold, he discovered that he started getting on far better with people than he had before. He showed wisdom. And then John kept reading his Bible, and he discovered that Jesus wants us to seek first the kingdom of God above anything. So he turned down a promotion to work overseas and quite literally earn himself millions of dollars because he felt that at that particular stage of his Christian life, he just needed to stay put in his church and work away at following Jesus in order to best grow in maturity of faith. He showed prudence. Now, at one level, what John did was not rocket science. The guy read his Bible, saw what Jesus wanted him to do, and then he did it. And Proverbs would describe him as wise, disciplined, and prudent. Would you like to be described the same way? Friends, it's just a matter of doing what he did. Let's read our Bibles and do what Jesus says. And so, sure, there's a place for all those other books out there. You know, books about how to help your marriage and how to be a better parent and self-development and help getting your finances. They've got a place, but let's not forget to just open our Bibles and read that first. Let's not forget to just open our Bibles and see what Jesus has to say and do that first. Why on earth would we not do that? Because even though Solomon's wisdom was as measureless as the sand on the seashore, in Jesus, we have one who is even greater. You're not going to get a better life coach than that. I'll pray. Father, thank you for your love of us and your desire for us to live life well, to live life as you want us to. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be wise and disciplined and prudent. And Father, that you would grant us the mind of Christ so that we might be the people that you have called us to be. Father, thank you for reminding us that true wisdom comes from your King. Help us to live that out. Amen.